Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Watching on video. We got Chris Trevino. Pretty happy. USA just defeated Iran 1-0.
You should be happy too. Why are you saying me? Are you not American?
I'm American.
What's going on here?
Not a big soccer
Okay,
guy.
if you're American, you're gonna do this USA chant with me.
Okay.
USA. USA. USA.
All right. We won. So we're advancing. Very cool. But this is the Peristyle Podcast, a little different intro. We are simulcasting live on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/InsideTroy, and of course, broadcasting across all of the Peristyle Podcast Network, wherever you can get your podcast. You can find the Peristyle Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see Chris holding up his USA t-shirt. So that was a little bit of a nail biter there, but the Americans took...
The Yanks got
the win. First win. Two ties and a win. So advancing. England won the group, right?
Yes.
So we get to move on. So now it's just the playoff kind of thing. I want to like soccer. I just don't like it that much. And there's just so many 0-0 games. I'm just like, oh, this is bad. But anyway, Americans moving on. This is cool. This is all a good thing. If you have any questions or comments for our show, you can drop us an email, podcast@uscfootball.com. And if you'd rather call or text us, you can do that too, 424-254-9141 is the number. If you have the Apple Podcasting app, we really do appreciate it when you leave us a 5-star review. Any sort of comments or feedbacks is great. It helps to grow the show. Of course, tell your friends about it. Chris, I think we got some new reviews that I have not looked at.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready?
No.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of reviews.
No. What's a whole bunch? Like
five.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm ready to be pinged up. To be dinged up here.
Well, it's an easy Trojan. 5 stars. Great content. Writing this for my wife's phone as I use Android myself. Easy Trojan on the P. Great week-to-week content. Love Shotgun's more in-depth pods about formations and non-football related content. My favorite one, though, is the 2-star where 10K and Hurricane kill it every week, especially when they go over 3 hours. Always bringing the young talent like Jack or Keeley back then. Ryan is a master baker and the rest of the crew are the apprentice chefs for a food analogy. Fight on.
Master Baker.
Yes. So I'm the head
Baker.
Chef, apparently. Yeah. Baker. It could have been other things. Dynamic Tom, 5 stars. The best football podcast. Not just USC, best football one. The team is great. Produces a lot of great content. They work hard to get us good info on USC football. The 2-star podcast with Chris and Gerard is awesome and definitely looking forward to it every week. Only issue is Chris and Gerard claim they're Mexican, but they don't even know where it's at. Chris's sense of humor is awesome. Keep it up.
It's somewhere below.
Somewhere
down below. I know that.
NW Trojan leaves the 5 stars, but the says 6 stars.
Oh.
Wow. So I don't know if you can write them in. He says, I've been listening to the podcast for something like 14 years as a member of Ryan's various USCFootball.com websites before that. Ryan has been begging for this 5-star rating for all those years. Ryan, Gerard, Dan, Harvey, Keeley, Chris, Shotgun, and the new guys have been delivering week after week after week. So least I could do, show my appreciation by taking 2 minutes out of my day to show appreciation for the 1,000-plus hours they've given me. Thanks. 5 stars. Wish it could be 6. Wow.
The amount of people that still think Keeley works here is astounding.
But she's still in USC.
But maybe they're just like reminiscing to a bit, because like he's obviously lived through the Keeley USFootball.com era, so maybe that's what it is. But the amount of people that bring up Keeley all the time about the work we do,
Yeah.
Still very high.
People bring
it's alarming.
But Dan, too, you know, it's like, you know, people move on. Dan retires. Keeley gets a different job. But, you know, Keeley's at least still in the, you know, the sphere of USC football. So people can assume that she's still here. But she is not. But we get to see her all the time. Got to see her this morning, which was great. Trojan 760. Love the show. Five stars. This is Johnny Blaze 760 from the Coachella Valley. Just want to say that I love all the shows on the Peristyle. I look forward to every new episode and every week. Ryan, Chris, Hurricane, as well as Shotgun are awesome, always entertaining and full of information of my beloved Trojans. Keep up the good work. And then Simone Mafia, SC all day, five stars. Love you guys. Y'all my number one podcast when I'm at work. Fight on. So some good ones. Nothing bad, Chris. You didn't get blindsided or anything.
No, all great. Thank you. I appreciate those, especially the love for the two-star
closet
podcast, which just programming note, we will not be recording one today.
Okay.
Gerard is having severe
technical issues
over at his studio, aka his garage. So we will be going tomorrow, but there will be a two-star this week. I know the last time we did not do a two-star, USC lost to Utah. Ryan, how about that? So, yeah, if we were going to do one this week, they would show up to our houses and they would demand that we do one. So, plus we have a big Notre Dame recruiting weekend to break down from this past weekend. So, definitely going to do one just a day later because, as I said, technical difficulties going on in the Hurricane household.
Yeah, he's been texting us about like how to fix FiOS problems and like. Gerard, I don't know, dude. That's why you got to call tech support.
You're an engineer.
I know.
You're the closest thing that he has.
He's sending like a picture of like his FiOS box. I'm like, just call the people.
If we have any like FiOS engineers or cable guys in the chat, like step up.
Jump in there.
Jump in there. Let us know.
Yeah. If you're in the chat, please smash that like button. Subscribe. You can hit the little notification bell to get notified when we do go live. So we appreciate doing that. We'll have to figure out what our schedule is going forward. We don't know what the bowl practices are going to be like or anything. And so we'll kind of get to all that. But we'll keep doing shows. And the live shows are fun. So we'll keep doing those. I want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's, before we jump into anything. New Fearless Flyer. If you go over to TraderJoe's.com, I love checking out the Fearless Flyers. They come out every week. I was there, I think I mentioned this last week, going into Thanksgiving. I only made two trips this time. Sometimes I make like three before Thanksgiving, but I only did two. So it wasn't as bad. I got most of the stuff I needed. They got some cool stuff on the Fearless Flyer, though. There's an organic Italian pasta section where you kind of all these different, you know, multicolored stuff. It looks really cool. So I want to check out some of these Italian pastas. Are you a big pasta guy, Chris?
Huge pasta guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I am a pasta.
You are just a pasta.
Pasta that's come to life.
And if you're into baking, they have a chocolate peppermint loaf and baking mix, and the picture looks really good, which I love my sweets. So, but make sure you go over to Trader Joe's. I stocked up on some wine, got some of the Pinot Noirs that I like.
And some of these.
Oh, I got, yeah, lots of those. Those pretzels that have peanut butter in them, legit. Those are legit. I can't stop eating those, like the salt and the sweetness, and it's just all good. But thanks again to Trader Joe's. Yes, Chris. So we have lots to get to today. I thought I wanted to show like this. We're in the studio. If you're watching on YouTube, this is what we do. We like doing this kind of stuff. We got to get to USC beat Notre Dame. We'll do our take it or leave it segment for that. But the ramifications of that. Going 11-1, Lincoln Riley on his year anniversary. We were at practice this morning, got to hear from the captains and Alex Grinch. And Lincoln Riley's going to talk about that stuff a little bit. Certainly a rematch in the title game against Utah. They don't want to call it a revenge tour anymore. So Tuli Tuipulotu's backing off that a little bit. The Heisman Trophy, of which I'm a voter, we got to talk about that. And, of course, the college football playoff stuff. So there's a – Chris, there's a lot to get to. Do you feel like – we need to do the take it or leave it. Is that how we're going to start this?
Sure. I don't have a ton.
Okay. We can do a brief one.
We can start with that for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm just trying to stall right now because I'm bringing it up. Okay, here we go. this is a, sometimes I, when I do take it or leave it, it's more like a take one, leave the other kind of deal. Okay. So who is, which of these is not getting enough credit from Saturday's win, the defense or Austin Jones? So you're taking one, leaving the other.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go with Austin Jones is not getting enough credit. I mean, okay, they really were dedicated to running the football in this game. It sort of was like flipping the tables, right? Like it just looked different than what we had seen in the past as far as like dedication to the run game. I mean, the defense should get some credit for limiting Notre Dame to 90 yards, but you also let Drew Pine complete his first 15 passes. So this wasn't, I'm not going to say like it was a great defensive effort. Like it was fine. Like they got a couple takeaways. They did a good job stopping the run, but you also gave up a whole lot in, you know, the passing game to a quarterback that's not really a dynamic passer. So I will go with the Austin Jones, you know, 150, what do you have, 154 yards or something?
154, career high.
Career high, yeah. So I think that's pretty special.
The Notre Dame win was more impressive than the UCLA win. Now, I'm not saying exciting. Please do not take impressive equals exciting in this one, okay? We know what the more exciting game was.
Yeah.
But boil it down to the Notre Dame game was more of an impressive performance than the UCLA game.
It's a good question. I think I'm going to go with Notre Dame as a more impressive
so
win.
So you're taking it.
We'll take it.
Okay.
Take Notre Dame as the more impressive win.
Defend yourself.
So I would say that there was a lot at stake for the Notre Dame game, but we didn't see the same kind of emotion that we saw going into the UCLA game. And for whatever reason, there was a lot going into that. You had DTR talking trash and all that. And, you know, both teams had, you know, weren't riding a high. You know, UCLA had lost to Arizona. No, you know, Notre Dame was more of a, you know, they had lost games early on, but so maybe Notre Dame was riding a little bit higher at the time that, you know, when UCLA and USC played. But I would say that emotion, I feel like USC put a lot into that game for UCLA, and Notre Dame was sort of like a little more reserved. It was sort of like, okay, we're just going to go out and play and we should win. And that's kind of what they did. So it was impressive to me that they were able to kind of dominate from the beginning. Now UCLA, you get down 14 points and you come back. But I felt like they just didn't play very well in the beginning. You know, they kind of crapped out in the red zone a little bit and they weren't good. I thought from the beginning, they sort of controlled the Notre Dame game and you never felt like they were going to lose. So I will take that.
Following Saturday.
Okay.
Completion of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I know you haven't seen every season, but the 2022 USC season is the most shocking USC season in program history.
I mean,
and we'll just go regular season, just yeah, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
after this week,
program history. I'm having problems putting comments up on the screen, by the way, so I'll have to kind of look at that in a little bit, but. There's been so many shocking seasons for USC. I mean,
what's one that comes to mind?
I mean, you look at even Pete Carroll's first year, like their second year after going 6-6 to win the Orange Bowl. Like that was pretty shocking. And then you kind of got on a roll after that. Like the Lane Kiffin, you know, going, what was it? What year was that when they were preseason number one and finished like 6-6 or whatever it was. And it was just, I mean, that was pretty shocking how bad that, you know, that kind of turned around. Even the 2016 season to start off 1-3 and like win the Rose Bowl, like there was some pretty shocking stuff there, but that's kind of including everything. It's tough because I predicted this team would be 9-3 and they're 11-1. So like two games better, you know. I think there was a bunch of other ones where they were like more than two games better or worse that you could say a little more shocking. Like that one year, I'm blanking on the year it was, but Lane Kiffin's year that they had, that just crapped the bed on that one. So I'm gonna leave this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfectly fair, but I made you think about it.
You did.
This is the most confident USC's defense has been all season going into this game.
I'm going to take that, mostly because they've done things that, you know, they've had goals and they want to accomplish the goals. You know, they've talked about, we heard from this morning, the turnover stuff. Shane Lee was talking about it. Like, that's just the focus. Like, you're always, Alex Grinch talked about it. He said, like, if a team is minus 24 or gets 24 takeaways, that's 9 wins. Like, it doesn't matter what the offense does. And they have, you know, there's like metrics, I guess, that can show this. So I feel like, you know, to get some takeaways, to limit the run game, I think they're pretty confident, you know. And then going into this one, knowing how badly Dalton Kincaid beat you and Cam Rising and both those guys might not being 100%, I think there's some extra confidence going into this one. Like, I feel like USC could lose this game. I feel like USC's defense could give up a bunch of points, but I don't think it's going to be because of the same factors that happened in the last Utah game, if that makes sense. I feel like they're going to be confidently not going to allow that to happen. Now, you might allow something else. You stop Notre Dame from running the ball and some quarterback who doesn't really throw the ball very well throws it all over the place. So that something like that could happen. You know, Utah doesn't have a lot of like wide receiver threats. So maybe they have a couple wide receivers have big games. I'm not sure, but I think they're going to take away what you are, you know, what the problem has, you know, was last time, which was Dalton Kincaid and Cam Rising and his running ability.
And finally, Utah will score less than 43 points in the rematch.
Yes, I'm going to take that all day. I just feel like USC sort of on like an upward trajectory and Utah's a little bit more of a downward one. Now, who knows? Maybe Kincaid's completely healthy. Maybe Cam Rising is back. But there was the whole body blow theory, like when USC and Utah played, they both came out of that game banged up. They were both injured. And then I think Utah had to play Oregon, and it seemed like a little bit of the same, you know, where it was a very physical game. And, you know, now we'll see. I mean, we don't know who's going to play in this one. They did get a get-right game last week against Colorado, so they didn't have a tough test. Scored 62 points or whatever it was and just blows, you know, the Buffaloes away. But I just don't know how healthy they're going to be coming into this one. So, I'm going to take this one. I don't think Utah's scoring that many points. Has anyone – who scored that many points on USC? That was the most all year, right?
I believe
– yeah, I don't think –
45? Wait.
No, I don't think so. No one
– what did UCLA score?
42? Oh, 45, yep. Yeah, so it's 48-45.
So I'm not crazy.
So it was one more. Okay.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah. But I think they're going to keep them under that.
Okay. Well, that's all I got for you.
Nice. It was, big win in the Coliseum. Needed it. You got it. That's what's important. It's amazing. 1 year later, Chris. Lincoln Riley was kind of asked about that a little bit today. It's hard to hear. There was a whole bunch of cameramen around, and it was just a very deep group talking to Lincoln Riley.
Ryan hates TV camera crews.
They just kind of take up so much space, and it's a very small space, and they just, yeah. It's not some of them are very nice, and some of them are not.
He's lying off.
Yeah,
off show. He's going to be like,
screw those guys. No, but so listening to him, this was the, you know, November 29th was the day that we had the press conference up at the 1923 Club in the Coliseum, and Rick Caruso and Carol Foltz and Mike Bone and Brandon Sosna, and everybody was talking about introducing head coach Lincoln Riley, and there was talks about championships and all this stuff, which just seemed pretty far-fetched after the 4-8 season that you just witnessed. And lo and behold, a year later, they are 11-1 and on the verge of winning a Pac-12 championship and making it to the very first college football playoff in USC history, the first Pac-12 college football playoff berth since 2016, that season we mentioned about the Rose Bowl. Sam Darnold was at USC the last time the Pac-12 made the playoff. That's a lot. That's a lot to overcome in 1 year, Chris. And It's pretty impressive what Lincoln Riley's been able to do.
It's frankly stunning. I mean, we all knew that, look, that it wasn't going to be a losing season. We all knew it was going to be better than 4-8. We knew that. You know, there were still some people that thought this is still going to be a losing year. That was a very minor group of people, but you know, we felt pretty confident that they were going to get around those 9 wins, and I felt pretty good about a 10-win season at least for this year. But to be 11-1 and only be 11-1 because of a 1-point loss on the road to Utah is mind-blowing. Just how well this team has come together and how well they've been playing. You know, there have been some hiccups. You know, Oregon State, that could have easily been a loss if not for some late game heroics and a defense that played out of its mind in that game. And USC's defense, I think, would have cost some games this season if not for an incredible amount of turnovers that's like on a historic pace, like could have the highest turnover margin in, you know, the history of college football, or the most since a long time ago. I don't remember what it was, like plus 24 is like the record or something like that. So just a historic pace in terms of turnovers and a Heisman winner. We knew Caleb was talented. We knew Caleb was going to be one of the best in the country and a Heisman contender. But to see him now, you know, 11 year later from when this thing started, I know he wasn't part of the Trojans by the time Lincoln Riley had been hired to coach USC, but to see him now as, you know, the favorite to win the Heisman, to be USC's next Heisman winner is crazy. That was something that was talked about, like, hey, this kid could win the Heisman this year. Maybe he wins it next year, junior year, but no, it's now. And that's kind of been the theme with Lincoln Riley. It's not, you know, people thought a couple years, they're going to be back on the path, but no, it's now. It's right now. It's happening right now. They're one win away from being in the college football playoff. And, you know, college football rankings come out in a couple hours. We fully expect them to be number 4 with Ohio State losing, LSU losing, LSU number 5. Big thorn in the side of USC fans who thought, you know, why was the 2-loss LSU team above USC at 10-1? But, you know, those teams lost. USC won. Another ranked win. I mean, I'd be shocked if they're not 4 in a couple hours. And that they're in the playoff at that point. If you win, you know, you're number 4 team in the country. So, yeah, it's crazy to think about how we were, you know, going into that Cal week, and now we're possibly having to book arrangements to go to Atlanta, Georgia, where they'll play the number 1 seed Georgia in, you know, the Peach Bowl for a chance to go to the national championship. That's all crazy, Ryan. It's crazy to say. And I know we tried to temper expectations in the offseason, like schedule sets up for it. You know, talent is there offensively. Defense has a lot of questions. Depth on the offensive line is questioned. Depth in general is questionable. Will this team gel together? We had all these question marks, but here we are, one win away from covering them in the playoff. And that's crazy to me. And it shouldn't be that crazy, because stuff like this happens all the time in sports.
Right.
It's college football, you know, crazy losses, crazy wins, crazy seasons, storybook season right now. And yeah, it's crazy to think about where we were a year ago. So yeah, I'm just enjoying the ride, and you as a USC fan should enjoy the ride that they're on right now, because they're going past the wild expectations of a lot of people, but not Lincoln Riley, based on what he was saying when he got here. So heck of a season.
And when you look back at everything that's going on, it's very important. Friday's game against Utah is very important. So much more can be accomplished. Even coming into like the UCLA game, you know, USC had 9 wins, and you're like, wow, the floor is 9-3. Like, they could lose to UCLA and Notre Dame. Like, you feel a lot different about things. Well, you go get that win against UCLA, big. Then so that's 8-1 in Pac-12 play. You're in. You're in the Pac-12 championship game. Then you beat Notre Dame, and now it's like, wow, now you're in the playoff if you take care of business against Utah. And that's, you know, and Caleb Williams essentially have won the Heisman with, you know, unless he has some sort of absolute choke job in the Pac-12 championship game against Utah. So a lot of things sort of had to fall into place in this last year, and they did. But you have to give whenever you see success like this, a lot of times you look at the end result and you're like, okay, there's this. And I've seen some fans making comments about, oh, they bought all these players and all this kind of stuff. To be fair, USC's NIL ducks are not in a row. So, like, they're not exactly crushing the NIL world. But the people think that they are, and I don't know if that's good or bad perception-wise. But a lot of it is just, like, what decisions did you make? And Caleb Williams talked about this after the Notre Dame game. What did you make in the spring? What did you do in the spring? How did you put this recruiting class together in December? And then decisions you made to hit the transfer portal in what areas? And which players you bring in, not just this guy's talented, but will they gel? I mean, one of the more impressive things is that he's brought a team together of players from all over the country and players that were on the current team and staff from all over the country, and they all kind of came together as a cohesive unit fairly quickly. And you haven't seen that a lot with teams that have been built a lot through the transfer portal. I think that's a very difficult thing to do. So the fact that he was able to do that, it's pretty impressive, but so many good decisions were made early on, and it's sort of like the basis for how you would get here. It's not just you look at the end result and like, oh, that's amazing. Like, you want the food analogy. It's like you look at this beautiful like wedding cake. Well, there might have been, weeks of planning going into this, and what all the different ingredients you had to buy, whatever it is, and how it came together, and people made different layers, and how they were stacked on top of each other. And delivered to the venue and to get it to where it is before the bride and groom cut it and put it in each other's faces. Like, that was probably a long journey to get that there. And you can't just look at the end result and go, okay, that's just easy. There was a lot that went into it, and it's not just acquiring talent and the staff and everything. There was a lot that kind of went into building this up to the point where you've lost one game by one point that you weren't, you were winning the whole game or tied or winning the whole game until the last 43 seconds or whatever it was. You have a quarterback that's, now the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. You can make the playoff for the first time. USC's never made the playoff before. All that stuff it took a lot of good decisions early on. And the first one was definitely hiring Lincoln Riley. They made better decisions, good decisions going into that, like building the infrastructure around the football program to allow a guy like Lincoln Riley to succeed. But when Mike Bowen and Brandon Sosna brought him in a year ago, this is what you wanted. And when when I was screaming at everybody, they're like, look, USC can be good. They're like, oh, they're never going to be good. They suck, blah, blah, blah. Because they had like the Heltonitis thing going on. I said, all you have to do is hire someone that's good at their job and you'll be good. I didn't expect like this good this fast, but that's what it takes. Just hire someone that's good at their job. They did that. And voila, USC can go to the playoff now. Like, that's all it takes is making a good decision.
Boom. You kind of just stopped there. I thought you were going to go for two more minutes. I had a question I wanted to ask you on this show. As someone who, am I correct that you are a Heisman voter?
I am a Heisman voter, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you've mentioned that before, but as someone who has watched some pretty good Heisman years, Reggie, Carson, Matt, and now you're maybe adding your fourth Heisman season that you've watched with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Particularly with the quarterbacks, Matt and Carson and Caleb, is there anything that feels similar about their respective seasons? Not in terms of like their play. I'm talking about just like the feel of a Heisman season. Is there a common thread that you feel between all three of those guys?
I would say for Carson Palmer, it was sort of a slow build. Like
simmer?
Yeah, you had it like, he wasn't on the cover of the media guide, but back then media guides were a big deal. Like there would be these color books and everything and your best player would be on there. Like Carson Palmer wasn't on the cover and he won the Heisman that year. So that's kind of weird. The three quarterbacks all finished against Notre Dame. So it's even years and you get Notre Dame at home at the end of the season. You got really an opportunity to put a stamp on things. With Leinart, it was like, they were just so good that felt a little different, where Carson Palmer, they weren't undefeated. This USC team's not undefeated. But by the end of the season, you kind of look at it like nobody's playing quarterback better than this guy. And so I think that might be the common theme, that definitely at the end of the year. But I guess Leinart would be a little bit different than the other two quarterbacks. And then Reggie too, like coming off a Heisman, coming off a, you know, playing with a 34 game win streak and all that kind of stuff. And he was just such a dynamic player that, you know, you would see him on special teams and all the different stuff. So his was more unique. The quarterbacks, I think there's some similar paths, but I would say like Carson Palmer and Caleb Williams, they're more similar paths just because of the way they kind of some adversity earlier on the season and then sort of kind of build up to this point where what Caleb had like 20 touchdowns over four games. And, you know, the real thing with Caleb Williams is just the lack of turnovers. Like, no, as much as he runs around, I mean, how much does he run around? He runs around a lot. Not a single fumble. You know, three picks. Pretty impressive. 44 touchdowns, three total turnovers. Those are just numbers that just like kind of blow your mind.
So I guess in terms of Carson and Matt and Caleb, it feels like his season is sort of in between those two in terms of Carson was not even like thought about as a Heisman guy. Caleb was considered a Heisman guy, but he was like not super high on the list. He was maybe like the fifth, sixth guy.
Yeah.
Was not a favorite going into the season by any stretch, but definitely in the conversation. Similar to Matt in that they had a lot of hype around them for the season, but you didn't really know how good USC as a team was going to be. There's definitely a lot of attention, obviously, on Lincoln Riley, first year Trojans, all these transfers, how's it going to work, how's it going to look, and it's just taken off. So it feels like it's, based on what you were saying, it's kind of in between those two in terms of a lot of attention, but you didn't really know if they were going to be 6-6 or 8-4 or whatever, and now here they are at 11-1. And Caleb had some Heisman buzz, but not like the level of Matt. Certainly more than Carson did in his year. So it's kind of in between those two.
Yeah, I would say because, you know, USC just won the Orange Bowl and Leinart and Bush are back. And there's just like, oh, wow, these guys are really good. So I think there was some of that with Caleb because of, you know, changing programs and he wasn't the full-time starter last year. You know, there was just kind of like, okay, we expect Caleb Williams to have a good year this year and everyone's going to know who he is. And then by next year, he'll be like a Heisman favorite. This is sort of ahead of schedule for Caleb Williams, just like it's ahead of schedule for USC to potentially make the college football playoff. I think it's probably going to take some more seasoning for them to be a national championship like contender. But if you make the playoffs, you're in the top 4 years, I guess you're a contender. I don't know if they'd be able to be competitive against a team like Georgia. I mean, but who knows? Like the way this offense is playing, I mean, I'm not going to discount anything at this point. But for Caleb, yeah, I think it would be somewhere, you know, in between those two guys. But as far as like being, you know, dynamic athlete, like, you know, Reggie Bush would be the only one that was close, right? That would be, there'd be something like that where they just can kind of do things on the field that, you know, the other players can't do. Like with Carson Palmer, you know, big, strong arm, all this stuff. Like Matt Leinart just, you know, ran that team super well, really accurate, and just, you know, he was one of the greatest quarterbacks in college football history. But what you see Caleb Williams doing is like, that would be more similar to like kind of what like Reggie Bush does, where you're just like blowing your mind. Like you're like mashing your PlayStation controller just because it's so crazy.
So he's if Reggie Bush played quarterback.
Kind of.
With an arm.
Sure.
Sure. I like it. That's going to be the front page of like one of those blog sites that just rip off everything we say.
Yeah. I think we have some Oklahoma fans that aren't happy still. It's been a year, guys.
They're in there?
There was at least one. You know, it.
Look, they're coming off. You know, it's
the bowl season.
It's a holiday. Yesterday was a holiday for USC fans. Not a holiday for Oklahoma fans. I'll tell you that right now, based on how they were reacting that day. You know, they named a stretch of highway after Lincoln Riley. Or like a gutter after Lincoln Riley or something like that. So that's their thing. USC has Lincoln Riley Day. So yeah.
Yeah. I just recommend moving on. Just move on. It's okay. You know, do something else. I get it. Like you thought your coach was terrible because he left you, but then he goes on and goes 11-1 and gets a Heisman winner and all that stuff. It's a little bitter pill to swallow, but just, you know, be happy with what you got. Move on. People move on sometimes. You just got to move on. Let's see. We got a rematch of the title game, Chris. They don't want to call it revenge, right? Tuli Tuilapilotu was talking about revenge. The revenge tour, which was more of like kind of a last year, revenge from last year. I don't think Lincoln Riley wants them talking about revenge for a game this year, which this would be the only game you would need revenge for because Utah's the only team that beat USC 43-42 back on October 15th. But yeah, what any initial thoughts on this title game and what some of the players said today about playing Utah again?
I mean, we talked about this on Instant Analysis. So basically what I said was I'm not surprised that this has been the message from Lincoln Riley and this staff in terms of toning down that element of quote unquote revenge for this game. And that's something that they've done all season when it comes, to these high profile games. You know, take the UCLA game, you know, who was trash talking? DTR, those guys over in Westwood were trash talking. USC didn't take the bait on any of that. You know, they were very, I'm sure Lincoln Riley was telling them, don't say anything. Didn't say anything. Notre Dame game, you know, they weren't talking trash like that, but still a big game, hyped up game, rivalry game, emotional game. But they went about their strategy of keeping it even keeled. Don't really get too much into the idea of it being, you know, a game that's different than, you know, the Colorado game or the Arizona game. Yes, the circumstance is different, but you can't let your emotions get a hold of you in a week like this. So try to keep it same every week. Be consistent. Don't get too up or too down based on your opponent. And I'm not surprised that that's kind of been the message this week when it comes to Utah. But I will say, you know, you're human. It's human nature, especially if you're a player, you're a kid. And I feel hard to believe that none of these guys have been thinking about, you know, wanting to get Utah. You know, they feel it in their heart and their bones and their minds like, hey, what happened in Salt Lake City really sucked, but we get another chance to right that wrong over there on the road. So while they're not saying, you know, revenge out in the media, I would not be shocked if, you know, internally they were, you know, hitting on that. You know, I would not be surprised. There was a clip that was released with Lincoln Riley go, this is the game we wanted. We wanted Utah because we wanted to write what happened. Let's go smash these mother effers or whatever, something like that. I would not be surprised if that was in the locker room. That was being said because, you know, it's human nature to want payback. So I know that's hard to kind of coach out of someone, or especially when you're in a situation like this. But yeah, I mean, I think they wanted Utah, to be honest, because it didn't really matter between Oregon and Utah in terms of helping them get to the playoff.
Right.
It doesn't matter now. It could have been Oregon or Utah. It doesn't matter who was higher ranked or whatever. But I think if you had the choice, I would say most of them pick Utah.
Yeah.
For the revenge factor.
I think you're right. I think if you talk to players from the team last year, and there were certain games that were going to be important to them just from the way they lost last year. This is now everyone on the team kind of is lost to Utah. So they've all done this together. So this isn't I'm going to help Tuli Tuilapilotu had a rough time playing UCLA last year. We're going to like all rally around and beat the Bruins. And this is something they all experienced. They all lost to Utah. And, you know, you saw Caleb Williams' expression on his face when they lost that game. And, you know, the Lincoln Riley, how upset he was with the officiating and all that, like, there's a lot I think you can kind of atone for. You know, Alex Grinch allowing Dalton Kincaid to go absolutely bonkers on them and have a career day. All that stuff you want to be able to sort of put to bed. And if you get to beat Utah on a neutral field by a significant margin or by 1 point, doesn't matter. I think that sort of will exercise those demons. You're like, kind of get that behind them. And then, you know, then it's like, okay, we are able to come back. And Lincoln Riley has done this a couple times in his past where they've had to play a team twice, play them in the championship game again. They lost during the season and we're able to win there. So, I mean, there's some positives you can take out of that. But I think the big thing is knowing that outside of that one game, you took care of business everywhere. If it was rough, like an Oregon State game where the offense wasn't working and you make the right play at the end and win the game, or you blow a team out, or it's a shootout that goes back and forth, you fall behind early like UCLA, or you just sort of control the whole game like Notre Dame, whatever it is, USC took care of business in every game but that one. They take care of business on Friday, and they're going to the college football playoff, which a couple weeks ago, I'd hear national pundits saying, like, well, USC probably can't get in and blah, blah, blah. Now it's to the point where USC's definitely in. Maybe USC gets a number three seed. And then there's some national pundits talking about USC getting in if they lose to Utah, because there's just not a lot of great candidates to be that number four spot. So I know you wanted to talk about making the college football playoff. So give me your thoughts on all that, Chris.
Which part?
What do you mean? Which part? Any of it. Like, what are your thoughts on USC making the playoff if they lose? Three seed, you know, where are you standing on all this stuff?
I posted a theorem, not a theorem, just a thing about the possibility of Lincoln Riley getting to face off against Garrett Riley, his brother, if TCU wins the Big 12 championship against Kansas State and Purdue upsets Michigan in the Big 10 championship. Michigan would likely fall. TCU would likely rise, and USC could also rise to the three spot and avoid the 1-4 matchup with Georgia, which is not the game you want. It's a game you'll have to play if you want to win the national championship, either way, one way or another, unless there's a stunning upset. But you have a much better path to the playoff if you can get that 2-3 matchup, which brings up an entirely different point, which is the fact that we're talking about USC's best path to the national championship is wild to think after we covered that Cal game at the end of the year, which is just crazy. Well, I did. Ryan did not go. He wasn't that dedicated to the soil in that part. I had to go.
I went to a Pac-12 championship game instead.
Fair enough. But yeah, I watched that entire Cal game, that dumpster fire of a Cal game, and now we're talking about USC's best path to the national championship, and that's wild. And all USC has to do is win. All USC has to do is win. Win and they're in. Win in a ring game, as Lincoln Riley has called it, and they get to go to the playoff, which is still bonkers to talk about, still bonkers to say out loud. And should they go if they lose to Utah? I don't know. I mean, it depends on how they lose, I guess, but I don't know. I feel like Ohio State would sneak in at that point. I don't know if the committee would give the benefit of the doubt to USC as a 2-loss team as opposed to a 1-loss Ohio State team. I don't know if that's what they would do. I don't feel like they would, but I see the argument for why, you know, USC could stay in the playoff hunt if they lose to Utah, but knowing college football and knowing college football rankings and the committee, I feel like they would put Ohio State in a heartbeat over the Trojans.
Yeah. All right. We got your Ryan. Someone face merged us. And did you see that?
Ryan Trevino.
Yeah. Like, I put their comment up there. That was pretty funny.
Is it the same person that has the Twitter account, Ryan Trevino?
I think it's the same one. Yeah. Mm. I assume it's the same one. We also had a on our Tunnel Vision show. I don't even know you could do this, and someone pointed it out to me. Some people put some donations in there, and we didn't. I didn't mention it. I didn't see it, but I guess you can. I didn't even know you could do this. You could donate to like the show that you're watching, and there was like a Notre Dame fan that donated like $10 while we were watching the show, and someone pointed out that you didn't even thank them. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing you could do. So my apologies to anyone if you had been watching the show and you donated. I didn't even know that was a thing. I don't even know where that goes.
Wait, we've been making money off this?
Apparently. I don't even know. So if anyone knows, let me know. There's like some super chat stuff. I need to figure out some more stuff on this YouTube thing. But
it's probably $10,000 sitting in that Facebook Tunnel Vision bank.
I think it was $10. But I saw like a $2 thing. And I'm like, so I can go back and kind of look at that or whatever. All right. So anything else, Chris, you wanted to discuss before we get into it?
I got nothing.
So just real quick, the Caleb Williams is a finalist for the Davey O'Brien Award. As you know, I am not a fan of like bowl projections. Oops, I'll put the different one up there. Bowl projections, I'm not a fan of watch lists. Yeah. But once you get down to like the finalists, so it's Max Duggan from TCU, C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, and Caleb Williams from USC. So there's three. Okay, we'll mention that. Like, I'm not going to mention when there's 100 finalists. Like, that doesn't really make any sense. But so that's good. I mean, the good thing is, you know, do you ever flip on ESPN in December and watch the, like, those Home Depot, like, award shows and stuff, and you're like, oh, yeah, there's no USC guys on any of that stuff. Now there will be. There's going to be some finalists. You know, Caleb Williams for sure is going to be one of those dudes. So very good thing for USC. And, of course, if you win the Heisman, that's a really big deal. All right, why don't we take a quick break, and we will come back and answer questions.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. I want to thank everybody. If you're in our YouTube chat room live, if you have some questions in there, try to put questions.
How many people we got?
We got, let's see, I tweeted out a couple times. I had 330 people watching in the middle of a Tuesday.
330 people?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Why are you watching us? That's great.
That is great, but also, like, why?
We had over
jobs.
We had over 1,000 people on our Tunnel Vision show, which is
that
crazy.
I get. It's a weekend. It's a Sunday
it's
night.
Sunday, yeah.
This is Tuesday at like 1:50. I'm always fascinated.
I love it. But thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening on the, you know, whatever podcasting app you're on, thank you for that as well. We appreciate you guys making us a little part of your day. We're gonna get to our questions, and I got a voicemail for you, Chris. Here you go.
Is it Eddie? Brian and Chris, yo.
He's laughing because I know it's him.
Can you believe it? Holy cow. Oh, my goodness. Eddie from Orange. Elated. I saw this coming from a mile away. I saw the defense stepping up. You know, I knew that Grinch would load up the box and just, you know, dare them to throw the ball, and Pine did a good job. But, you know, Grinch gave him enough rope, and eventually Pine hung himself twice. And that was the difference in the game. You know, Caleb Williams is Superman. Pine isn't. And that defense that everyone said all year long eventually would run out of luck. We're running out of turnover luck. Has it. And, it's by design. So I think, I don't know if you think so, but I think we should all, you know, have a little gratitude towards Grinch and, the way his defense plays. Angry Giraffe was amazing. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
What do you think, Chris?
I'm going to be straight up honest. Mm-hmm. I started laughing, one, because I knew it was going to be Eddie from Orange County, but also it just straight up sounded like he was having an orgasm at the top of that call. Just straight up, I'm going to be honest, just like straight up.
Little TMI.
Whatever. Just 300 people here. they can appreciate that. But they can hear the voicemail, right?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, 100%. Everyone's going to agree with me in the chat.
Otherwise, we'd just be sitting here like.
Well, I was just thinking that, but. You know, I think Grinch and that defense, for all the crap that they've taken for And some of it, rightfully so. You know, they deserve some criticism that's come their way. But they also deserve a lot of praise for you know, stepping up in big moments and having a short memory when they get beaten up on certain drives and coming back and being resilient and all that stuff. And just think to last year's defense where they couldn't stop anyone and couldn't get a turnover to save their life, or was just get run out of the stadium by like the second half. And yeah, this team has given up a lot of yards, but and some touchdowns, but man, they fight. And I think that's kind of all you really wanted out of this defense that you knew had talent, but not talent across the board. You know, you had talent in spots and guys needed to step up. You don't have that consistent depth and talent in the wings like a Georgia or an Alabama or an Ohio State. You don't have that yet. So it was going to be a little bit of a grind. But to their credit, which they deserve a lot of, they have been grinding. Alex Grinch and his defense have been grinding, and that defensive staff. So, yes, they deserve a lot more credit than I think they've gotten this season. They've had some fair criticism, but I think you have to give them some flowers for what they've done. And we don't know what's going to look like on Friday. We don't know what's going to look like in a possible playoff spot or in a bowl game or whatever. True. But, hey, they've done their part to help USC get to this point.
They have, yeah. They've had to play a critical role, and it's been important. We got some emails. LA Transplant says, rematches make me nervous. Give me something on why I should calm down.
I think USC is peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
And I think that says a lot. I think that goes for a lot in sports if you're peaking at the right time. And I know Utah loves playing with that underdog mentality, but they are beat up. And I think USC has that extra edge of knowing that is a rematch. And Lincoln Riley's 2-0 in conference championship games to a team he's lost before. So there's something about Riley and getting that rematch that gets him going and brings out another level of his team. So I think those are things that should make you feel better. And Utah's really beat up. I mean, everybody's beat up at this point of the season. USC's dinged up too, but Utah's really dinged up. So I think that should count for something, but just be cautiously confident, I would say.
Yeah.
They do have the motivation of having lost to them before. I think that counts for something.
We had a Michigan fan in the chat. I had to kind of mute him. He was a little, but I want to point, he did have a comment.
The Michigan guy?
Yeah. Caleb Williams is a stud, no doubt, but that defense will be your crypto knight, like cryptocurrency. It's a little different. So maybe it's like the market's going to crash or something. I'm not sure.
Yes. Look, I don't, and I've been on record in saying like, I don't think the defense would hold up well against like a Georgia.
Yeah.
And like the Peach Bowl. Like they've got maulers on the offensive line. They got talent across the board. They have the best tight end in the country. And he could go for maybe 900 yards against his defense. I don't know, but I just don't think that defense would have enough juice to get through full four quarters. You know, they could start off hot, but then, you know, points start going. But hey, I've said they're fighters, so maybe they come up with a play when it's like 60 to 65 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But USC does have the offense and the quarterback to put up points on anyone. Could that work against Georgia? I mean, they are technically part of anyone. So that would be – I just think Georgia's the worst matchup for them in terms of a really, really strong defense, elite-level defense, and the best tight end in the country. That's like their worst matchup.
Yeah.
But, you know, roll the ball out there and play it. I think they would make some plays, but I don't know if they'd be enough for four quarters against a team that has just been stocking 4 and 5 stars in talent.
For sure.
For years and years. So – but hey, that's why you play the game.
Yep.
I think even if you expected USC to get blown out by like 30 points or something, you would still take that match. You would still take that game in a heartbeat. Play for a chance to go in the national championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Why not? I had your Twitter handle, like David Woods' Twitter handle up there. So my bad about that one.
I'm David Woods.
You're David Woods. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris and Trevino, but I'll fix that later. There's some weird stuff that was happening in the I like if you just look at the comments and stuff, like the way I put it up there on social media, it's a little different. I had to kind of do that on the fly. So some of the stuff was weird in our system. So I'll try to work on that. When we get going here, let's see. We got Cameron says, hey, fellas, first time checking in with you. Longtime USC football fan. Your excellent journalism, commentary, and analysis is awesome. And welcome to the Inside Troy team. Jack, you are dialed in, brother. SC defense has been bludgeoned on social media, yet they keep playing above themselves and improve. His question is, as our recruiting juice gets stronger, will USC veer away from tactically using smaller, more agile defensive players or go big, like Big Ten big, recruiting bigger players in order to play with the, quote, big boys from the Midwest? Thanks, Cameron from Thousand Oaks.
We've talked about this multiple times on the Composite Two-Star Recruit, so okay. I recommend trying to check out some of those episodes. I don't have them off the top of the head, but there's somewhere we talk about defensive line recruiting.
Okay.
But what Gerard has said, and I've like felt the same way, is that it's going to be like a where like push comes to shove, where I think USC does need to get a little bit bigger, because in the Big Ten, you know, it's a different animal out there. Yep. And, you know, even Lincoln Riley is, I believe he was specifically asked about recruiting different, knowing that you're going to the Big Ten. And he mentioned that, yeah, you have to adapt to that, and they will adapt to that. And I think part of that is getting a little bit bigger on the trenches. I think they're still going to prioritize athleticism and multi-sport athletes, especially like with edge players and defensive ends. You want that. Those athletes on the field in that position don't need to be smaller, but you know, you're talking about getting those bigger, even with their linebackers, don't need to be the biggest. They don't need to be 6'4" and all that, you know.
Yeah.
Like a Tackett Curtis is 6'2", 220, but he can run out the gym and he can go sideline to sideline like that, played safety. So I think in some positions you still want that speed, but in the front, when you're talking about defensive linemen, I think they want more athleticism. But I think we're going to see a trend of them try to get bigger, knowing that they're going to have to go against some big offensive lines in the Big Ten.
Yeah. We got Tina from Los Angeles. She says, Ryan, Chris, Jack, wow, last night was amazing. Electric in the collie. Take it or leave it. So she's doing some take it or leave it here. Thule has two or more sacks Friday, since this is an away game. It's not really an away game. Actually, USC is a home team. Neutral side game.
So will he get two sacks? Oh, this is tough because, you know, Utah was getting the ball out quick in Salt Lake City. USC did not have a sack in that game. And Utah, really good at protecting Cam Rising, getting the ball out quick. He's mobile.
Well, he's kind of hobbled, I think, a little
bit hobbled. And they've only allowed less than 10 sacks. I believe they allowed 8 sacks this season. They're one of 7 teams in the country that have not allowed double-digit sacks this year. So it's going to be tough for two. I think he can get one.
I wouldn't
say two. Like you said, Rising a little bit hobbled, but I think they're going to still be good at getting the ball out quick. But I would say at least one. So I would leave the two.
Okay.
But I don't want to – but I can't really, you know, officially – I won't officially leave it, because I can't bet against the monster Thule coming out.
Okay. And then she also says, now that USC has played Utah and can better game plan, Kincaid will have less than 100 yards receiving Friday.
Less than 100 yards. Mm. I would say I'll take that.
I'm going to take it too.
I think he'll have a decent game, but it's not going to be close to 16 for 234.
Yeah, like if he had like 6 catches for like 85 yards and a touchdown, like that's a really good game, you know?
That's essentially half of what you gave.
It's less than half. I mean, it's.
Yeah, right. 84. It's not even.
It's like a third.
Third. You know, yes.
It's insane, like what he was able to do. So I think you can have a really good game, just not have a career game. And that's the term that that Alex Grinch used today, career. Eric at Duck Country. Ryan and Chris, what do you think gives this team more of an advantage? Utah having the confidence of knowing you've already beaten USC, or USC having the motivation of revenge?
I'll take the motivation.
Yeah, I think there's motivation.
I think motivation is more powerful than confidence, because it's not like they beat them by 20.
No.
They beat them by 1.
You needed everything to go right.
Yeah, you need everything to go right.
including being at home, you know,
a couple good flags. You needed all of that.
And right now, I'm not a conspiracy theory person that the Pac-12 was trying to screw USC or anything. I know some USC fans think that. I don't think that. But if you happen to think that, the Pac-12 would like USC to win this game now. So that would be one thing that you're not going to get. Like, if the refs were not on your side, which I don't think that was the case, they would be on this game because it's better for the Pac-12 if USC wins and goes to the playoff because the Pac-12 needs a playoff team. A lot of the stuff that sort of went Utah's way, I don't know if he'll go Utah's way this time. Is Dalton Kincaid going to have his career game? Is Cam Rising going to be able to play as well as he did? You know, running. Hey, 2-point conversion. I'm just going to run it in myself. Like, he doesn't look like the last couple weeks he can do that right now. We'll see. Utah can still win the game. They're a really good team. But a lot of the things that sort of worked, that you needed all these things that go right for Utah to win, some of them aren't just going to be there for this one. So you're going to have to figure out other ways to kind of tip the scales one way and get Utah a victory. Frank at Sacramento, isn't it great where we don't have a Pac-12 officiating crew and how few penalties get called? No dumb ones. Was it an ACC crew that was in the
That's what they were saying.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that one, but this is Frank in Sacramento. I need to talk about this guy's return. Number 18 is the man. He pointed out that Eric Gentry led the team in tackles with 9. Any thoughts on Eric Gentry, Chris?
I think he's key for this defense in both as an emotional leader and his play on the field. Super talented. You saw him all over the field on Saturday night, making tackles, almost got a sack. You know, it's just different when you got a 6'6" spider out there. Angry giraffe kicking around the middle of the defense. So it definitely brings this defense to another level, I would say.
I think so too.
And it's huge.
His energy is just, you can feel it.
It's infectious and it really inspires guys, especially, yes, you know, on the sideline. I watch it all the time. And yeah, definitely brings another level out from these guys and this defense as a whole. So yeah, huge having him back and huge having him for this week back again as well, especially with knocking off a bunch of that rust against Notre Dame.
Yeah. No, I think that was big. We got Don says, good job recruiting Jack. He's well prepared. Could you tell him he doesn't have to shave every day? Maybe when the scheduled segment with Chris and you could ask Jack not to shave for a couple of days. I don't know. Worried about his shaving? Is it some kind of joke or something? I don't know. I don't get that. Am I too old?
Movember?
Maybe. I don't know.
Look, he's also like 15. I don't know if he can grow anything. He probably hasn't shaved in like 3 years.
If he ever has. Corey, realistically, what can USC expect from Corey? Didn't see any tackles. Actually didn't see him touch anyone. You saw that interception, right, against UCLA. Everyone says SC can't stop anyone, but on the other side, no one can stop USC's offense. The fact that the offense is so good, it puts pressure on opponents' offenses, which helps the USC defense create takeaways.
Well, I know he didn't watch the game because Corey definitely did touch someone. He almost had that sack.
Yeah.
The one right before the fourth down, and he was able to slow him down. He was pissed at himself and didn't get the sack, but Tyrone Tilleni was right there to knock him down and make it fourth and short, and eventually was a turnover on down. So did definitely touch somebody. Nearly had a sack.
Yeah. It was big. Do you think, the offense does put pressure on the defense? I mean, put pressure on opposing offenses and maybe forces them into some turnovers.
Yeah.
I think it contributes. But it's all it's all how it works together. Like, if you have an explosive defense, which we don't hear that term a lot, but they just make these big explosive plays, having an offense that gets the lead sort of helps that, because now you've put pressure on the opposition and now they might take some chances. And then when you're kind of forcing the issue on the defensive side of the ball, you can, it opens up the door for the opposing offense to make a mistake and throw a pick or fumble a snap or whatever it is. And yeah, I think it works together. That's one of the things that you can look at the defense, you can look at the offense, but I think a lot of times they just kind of work together pretty well. They complement each other, which is kind of what you want, even though they're not on the field at the same time, but the way they, react in the game, it seems like it does help each other. Fred says, I don't know if anyone saw this. This was about the UCLA game. The Pac-12 head linesman reached for a flag to call targeting on the security guard who knocked down that guy who ran out onto the field during the USC-UCLA game, Fred in Sarasota. Did you see that, Chris? You filmed it.
I thought he said Notre Dame game.
No, the UCLA game. The ref throwing the flag.
Hey, look, it's practice on the screen.
Oh, nice.
Fox got their B-roll playing, and I guarantee you that's all they got.
That was it. There was just a really short practice this morning.
Is he asking if that was targeting? No, because he did not lead with the head.
Nice. No, but did you see the ref? It was make a joke that the ref threw
Keeley.
A flag. Oh, there's Keeley. Nice.
Let me get a photo of this. I don't. Get that tweet in.
Lincoln Riley. Talking about this stuff. We got a couple of questions we'll get to, and then we'll get out of here. This one's from Manford. If we get to play TCU, how crazy would the Riley versus Riley storyline be?
That's pretty crazy.
That's your thing.
It would be the dominating thing of this game, which would be Riley versus Riley. You know, they both know each other. They would both know what they were going to call. So it'd be pretty fascinating. Yeah, I think they know each other pretty well. I meant like they know what each other would be thinking to call in certain situations. So yeah, it'd be huge. Mm. And it's the two kind of, I guess, least strong teams in the playoffs. So it'd be like the winner would get to play one of the stronger teams. Assuming if Michigan lost.
Yeah. If Michigan lost, they're not one of the stronger teams anymore. Then it's just Georgia.
But like they beat number two Ohio State, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
On the road, you know.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
This one, who is this? Know Thyself. This is, do you think the Pac-12 prefers us in the playoffs or not?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the Pac-12, if you're George Klyovkov, you want this. And I know there's debate. Because it's like USC, I can play the sound.
That blast came from the Death Star. That thing's operational.
Let the hate flow through you.
Kind of a long drop, but yes, the Death Star is back if USC makes the playoff. This is what most of the Pac-12 feared. That's what they enjoyed when Clay Helton was the head coach for so long. But I think if you're George Klyovkov, you still got another year of USC and UCLA in the conference. So making a playoff this year for USC is probably better than next year when it would be like the last year. And you could argue that, well, if you make it this year, you could make it next year too. But I feel like the playoff drought has been talked about enough that at least you'd get over the drought. Washington fans are definitely pulling for USC. Everyone in Washington wants USC to win because if USC wins, go to the playoff, then Washington can likely go to the Rose Bowl. The rest of the Pac-12, probably not so much. You don't want USC to win. But for the betterment of the conference, you need USC to win to go get a playoff team in there. Now, we've seen this conference be very bitter and not care. Like, you would rather, just see USC lose and not make the playoff than, have the Pac-12 make the playoff at all. That's sort of just the way things go. But I don't know if you have any different thoughts, Chris.
Nope.
Yeah. One last one from Graham. Do you think there's a chance that Jordan Addison will sit out any of the last two games?
Nope.
He's probably a top 10, top 15 pick.
Move it on.
Why risk further injuring yourself?
Move it on.
Yeah. No, I don't agree with that either. So I don't think he's going to sit out. We've already, like Tavion Thomas for the Utah running back, who's just not really done much this year, I don't think, but he's sitting out. He got hurt in the game against the Buffaloes, the Colorado game. So he's out for this one.
There was some weird stuff going on with him. Like, he was not dressing for games, wasn't traveling for games.
Something was weird.
Like, weird. Whittingham was playing dumb when it came to, like, asking about his status. And there was, like, vague calls about, like, accountability in reference to him. So just weird, like, locker room stuff going on there. So,
yeah, something's. But it is transfer portal time. Like, it is that time of year. It's happening. You're seeing a lot of stuff popping up. So you got to be on watch. Make sure you go check out uscfootball.com. We will have all kinds of stuff on whatever's going on in the transfer portal. Lots of news, notes, and insights into what's going on there. All right. Well, I think we can wrap it up, Chris. We got a bunch of people on the chat. We appreciate you for coming in, saying hello. Please smash that like button. We got to get it over 100. We have 345 people in there and only 91 likes. Come on, get in there. Oh, there, it says chat revenue. So there's a little thing. It says, so we got
how much do we make?
$5.
$500?
$5.
Wow. Wow. That's going to pay for the whole Vegas trip.
I don't even. So, like I said, don't know how this works.
$500.
If you donated $5 to it, I mean, don't need to do that, but thank you very much. I don't even know where that goes. We'll have to figure that out.
$500. It's incredible.
$5.
$10,000 on Saturday, $500. This is incredible. Thank you, guys. You're the best.
Revenue.
You're the best.
Yes, but thank you for doing that. Thanks for listening wherever you are. Yeah, we do enjoy doing these. We have a lot of fun. It's certainly a lot more fun.
Speak for yourself.
When USC is good, but we can talk about a team that's winning as opposed to when you're going to fire your coach. We had many years of that. Now we get to talk about a team that's good. So it's a lot of fun for us too. And we know it's fun for all of you. So we appreciate that. And thanks for being part of this, being along with us on this journey. It's a crazy journey. 11-1, year one of Lincoln Riley. With still big goals ahead. Amazing what can be accomplished in the first year under Lincoln Riley. Just shaking your head at the possibilities. But you got to take care of business on Friday. You do that, opens up an entire new world. It's crazy what could be going on. So, but for Chris Trevino, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, we got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.